Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Welcome to All Rather Mysterious, the podcast that aims to unlock mysteries of the past with the key of fact. My name is John Rain.
My name is David Reed.
My name is Eleanor Morton.
Please join us as we present to you mysteries that have baffled the world and puzzled the minds of the very best. Today we bring you closure. And today I'm going to talk about Tamam Shud.
Ah.
I wish you would.
I wish you will.
Is that how you say it?
I think so.
Let's do it.
Shall I go with that?
Yeah.
I can't ask him because he's dead.
Tamam.
Well, that's not his name.
Spoilers.
Oh. Spoiler alert.
I know nothing about this one. I'm rather excited.
Ooh. The time is Adelaide, South Australia. It's the 1st of December 1948. And on a very, very nice beach in Adelaide, South Australia, a man is found dead in a sunbathing type
position.
Not
that nice a beach.
No, he's lying on the beach, but his head's sort of propped up on the bank.
Right.
Behind the beach. So he was lying, resting against a seawall, and his legs were extended and his feet were crossed. It is believed he had died while sleeping.
Huh. Now, that's how I rest. Mm. I do the old crossed ankles these days.
It's good for circulation.
Is it?
I don't know.
No. I wake up with a sore foot every day.
It's not good for circulation.
You're waking up with a numb hand. That's very weird.
No.
Yeah.
I accidentally lie on it and it goes numb. And then you're like, maybe I don't have a hand anymore.
It feels like someone else is sleeping with you.
I wish. No, sorry.
A half-smoked cigarette was lodged between his cheek and his jacket lapel, and an unused cigarette was behind his ear.
It's kind of cool.
Right.
Witnesses said on the evening of the 30th of November, so the previous evening,
yes,
they had seen an individual resembling the dead man lying on his back in the same spot and position near the place where the corpse was found.
So someone had seen him dead there before.
Well, no, because when they saw him, he was moving about.
Okay.
And he was seen at one point even to lift his left arm.
I would suggest he was still alive the day before.
Oh, controversial.
Brave. So according to the pathologist, the man was of British appearance. British.
What does that mean?
It sounds like a Japanese man saying British.
It
he
does.
Is a British.
Yes.
And thought to be aged between 40 and 45. He was also in top physical condition.
Oh.
5'11".
Yeah,
that's a
British.
Nice little compliment from the pathologist there.
I know you're dead,
he's
but
really quite fit.
Apart from the death, he's really good.
Yeah, his doctor would be displeased when he gave him his checkup. He was 5'11" tall, grey eyes, fair to ginger coloured hair. Now here's the interesting part.
Right.
He had a genetic defect.
Being ginger.
Allergic
not
to
being
sand.
Ginger. Don't be self-conscious. He had no incisors.
Right.
Which is something that's a rare condition. And he also had strange earlobes.
Strange how?
Well, not earlobes, sorry. The bit in your ear.
Conch.
Consciousness.
Conch.
Foldy bit.
The foldy bit.
It's a rude
in your
word
ear.
In Peru.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it a slur?
Yeah. Well, no, concha is how they say conch, and it also means lady parts.
Right.
Right.
Because it
boobs.
Looks like...
No, no, no. Female roles in films.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. He was dressed in a white shirt a red, white and blue tie. Very patriotic.
Is that why he looked British? British.
He just wants his country back.
He's ginger with a Union Jack tie.
Although ginger would suggest Scottish, wouldn't it? So he's not technically British.
Hang on. They've not left yet.
They're going to, though, aren't they?
Yeah, one day.
We will.
So anyway, he's wearing a suit with American tailoring, but all the labels on his clothes had been removed.
Now I've done that before, and it's because, you know, you don't want to go around being reminded of, like, capitalism.
Right.
Mm. Mm.
You just want to think, like, I own this now, and I don't want to think about
Top Shop. Just like to, live dangerously, so you want to guess how each item needs to be washed. whether it can go in a tumble dryer or not, who knows?
Or it could shrink.
Right. Or you just
on your toes.
Yeah.
Just put it all in one wash every time, all the time.
And then just, if you lose all of your cashmere.
If he dies, he dies.
All the cashmere I own.
He had no hat, which was unusual for 1948, or wallet.
That is very unusual.
The body was clean-shaven and carried no ID, as they've just said, which led police to believe he had committed suicide. Because this happens quite often. People commit suicide. Yeah. They get rid of all their worldly belongings.
Yes.
They fold their clothes on the beach, mm-hmm. or they throw their wallet in a bin.
Was he not wearing his clothes?
He was wearing his clothes.
Yes.
I'm just saying people often rid themselves of their mortal belongings.
But they usually walk into the sea to get into difficulties, as they say, rather than just sunbathe whilst ginger. That's a hell of a way
that's
to go.
That's a way to go, isn't it?
I have been sunburnt in cloudy weather, so...
I've been sunburnt in the rain,
so I'm saying a beach in Australia.
You think it's a quick, painless death, is what you're saying?
I think it's painless. I think it would work, though.
Do you think that's a mystery we could do one day about why ginger people sunburn so quickly?
I mean, I know why.
Why?
It's because we have less melanin.
Yes.
Is that right?
It's why you get darker skinned people closer to hotter climates.
Right, okay. Okay, fair enough.
Solved.
Anyway.
So that was a little mini side one there.
Oh, good, good.
Very quick.
Yeah, two for the price of one this week. Teeth, as I've mentioned before, were strange and they did not match the dental records of any known living person. Mm. The autopsy showed that the man's last meal was a pasty. Definitely British.
Yeah, definitely.
Although poisoning remained a prime suspicion, the pasty was not believed to be the source of the poison. On the 14th of January, so a couple of weeks later, staff at the railway station in Adelaide discovered a brown suitcase with its label removed.
Okay.
It had been checked into the station cloakroom at 11 a.m. on the 30th of November, so the day before the man was found dead.
Right.
It was believed the suitcase was owned by the man found on the beach.
You said the 14th of January?
Yeah, 2 weeks later they found it.
6 weeks late.
Hey?
Didn't you say it was found on the 1st of December?
Oh, yeah, I beg your pardon, yeah.
So they waited till after Christmas before they did anything about it?
Yes.
Okay,
good. Ignore what I said about it being 2 weeks later. It was 6 weeks later.
Yeah.
An inquest into the death commenced a few days after the body was found. Now, they found a number of discoveries. The man's shoes were remarkably clean and appeared to have been recently polished, rather than being in the state expected of the shoes of a man who had been wandering around all day long.
Well, he'd been lying there for two days.
Lying down, hadn't he? He added, the guy doing the inquest, added the evidence fitted with the theory that the body might have been brought to Somerton Beach. So we're in a place called Somerton.
Right.
After the man's death, accounting for the lack of evidence of vomiting and convulsions, which usually happen when one is poisoned.
Mm. So why do we think he was poisoned?
Just because of the way he was found.
So
There's no other...
There's no evidence of any other thing that killed him. Could
it? Well, the autopsy suspected it was heart failure, but because there was pasty in his system, people think he may have been poisoned.
Right, but that's just because they're not a fay with British food.
That's right. It's terrible.
So far, a man has had a heart failure on a beach. I fail to see the mystery.
Well, around the time of the inquest, a tiny piece of rolled up paper with the words "Tamam Shud" printed on them was found in a fob pocket sewn within the dead man's trousers.
Ooh, here we go.
Public library officials called in to translate the text and identified it as a phrase meaning ended or finished. Found on the last page of a book called The Rubaiyat of Omar Khayyam.
Oh, I've read that.
Have you?
Yeah,
you are poems. Now the prime suspect.
As the only person to have read that book.
Yep.
Following a public appeal by the police for a copy of this book, a man brought one in and said, "Oh yeah, I found this in my car, which was parked by Somerton Beach, in the back seat. Maybe this is the book you're looking for." Now, they looked inside the book. It was indeed the book they were looking for. But it had a section cut out at the end. The words Tamam Shud were missing.
It's from that book.
It's from that book. And the theme of the Rubaiyat of Omar Khayyam is that one should live life to the fullest and have no regrets when it ends. The poem's subject led police to theorise the man had indeed committed suicide by poison, although there was no other evidence to back this theory up. On the blank reverse, microscopic tests indicated, so where the word was missing in the book, that the piece of paper was torn from the page, as we said. Also in the back of the book were faint indentations representing five lines of text. They managed to write them out, and they were seemed either to be gibberish or code. They were just random letters.
Ah.
I think four or five of them in a row, like some sort of cipher.
Four letters.
Four or five letters.
It's a four-letter word written on the back.
But at the time, they thought it was just gibberish.
Right.
There was also...
to be a British word they were not okay with.
Chips. There was also an unsolicited phone number in the back of the book for someone called Jessica Thompson. Oh. Now, they traced her. She told police she did not know the dead man, but when shown a plaster cast, they took a plaster cast of his body,
right,
and they buried him in a grave,
right,
unnamed grave. When she saw the plaster cast, she was said to have reacted badly and said she felt faint and had to leave.
Boy, they were showing her a plaster cast of a naked dead guy.
Kind of a weird thing to do.
It is weird.
Yeah. But she said that she'd never met the dead man. She did not know him and didn't know why he'd have her phone number.
Mm.
Okay.
Yes.
I mean, you know, there is a lot of men out there who do get the numbers of women who don't really want them to have it.
That's true. What year was this, though, remind me?
This was 1948.
1948. If anything, I don't know if men have got worse or better.
I'd say they've probably got worse.
Yeah, yeah.
He could have mailed her a dick pic.
That's true. In code. A five-letter code for dick pic.
Now... He was just buried. They don't know what happened to him, but the mysteries remain. Now, on the face of it, it's kind of an open and shut thing, but some theories have thrown up different ideas over the years. Now, many, many years later, Jessica Thompson's daughter, in 1995, claimed that her mother had lied to the police. She told her when she was young, I lied to the police. She did know the man. And the daughter thinks they were spies.
Oh,
right.
What? Because spies, as you know,
yes,
cut their labels out of their clothes.
Do they actually?
They did. Well, they did
old
days, but especially in the war.
It's always hard to tell with you.
Why did they do that?
Because if they were captured, then they could pretend to be someone else.
Labels as in that says Moss Bros on the inside.
Yeah,
but
yeah, everything out of their
clothes. So they could pretend it was from a German tailor.
Exactly.
Right, I see. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, of course, because your clothing said a lot more about you back then than it does now.
Where you're from.
It?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other theory was that he had Jessica Thompson's number, and this is the bombshell of the case.
Right.
Jessica Thompson had a one-year-old son at the time of this man being found. The son had no incisors and the same defect in his ear.
Mm.
Was he poisoned with the poison from a half-smoked cigarette that was found on his body by Thompson to stop him causing a scandal because she was married at the time and pregnant with another child on the way?
Dun, dun, dun.
Where does she live?
In Adelaide.
In Adelaide. She's Australian as well.
So I'm thinking...
What are spies doing in Australia? I mean, what...
Yeah.
What international espionage goes on there?
Well, this is after the war, isn't it? So they might not have always been in Australia. They might have been in,
Europe.
The Far East.
Or the Far East.
Well, lots went on. You know, lots of Australians were involved in the Second World War.
They certainly were, because at the time they were still a colony.
Yeah, that's right.
As it should be.
Yes.
Scottish.
We did our share.
So my other theory,
yes,
that I reckon it could be the Russians.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I really like the poison cigarette thing, because that's very... Very cold.
Spy.
Yeah, it's
cold
sort
war.
Of Cold War-y kind of thing.
Did they test the cigarette?
They didn't think to at the time, because they wouldn't have known what they were testing for, because they did do a poison check, and there was no traces of poison found, but that doesn't mean he wasn't poisoned, because if it was ingested via a cigarette...
I hear it wouldn't have come up. It depends on the poison, because they need to look for specific things as well. They can't just press poison on different... the computer.
Or am I making this up, or did I heard that the Germans tried to poison some cigars to send to Churchill?
That is true.
Yeah, I heard that. Or exploding cigars.
Also, the Americans...
You don't need to poison exploding cigars. They'll do the job for you in one.
I think the Americans tried to do that with Castro as well.
Yes.
During the Cold War.
Yes, as well as that, yes.
Because... And also put something in his food so the hair on his beard... His face would fall
out. And then people would lose faith in him because he would be all bald and he would be embarrassed. Wow. That's true.
Because that is very true. Like, people are famously embarrassed by bald people.
Yeah.
Actually, I can't think of a bald prime minister.
Mussolini?
Was he our prime minister?
He was the primo in Italy, though,
He didn't have a...
He put his face on everything.
He didn't have a great time, though, did he?
In the end, he didn't.
No.
He had a nice time when he was all right, you know, when it was all right
before the war. I guess the Dalai Lama is quite trusted, isn't he?
Quite exiled as well.
Yeah.
So...
William Hague.
Yep.
He's not a prime minister, but
never
he's
got
bald.
There.
No one likes him.
Because he's bald.
Yeah.
Right.
Ian Duncan Smith, don't like him.
Yep.
Absolutely not.
It's all making sense, isn't it?
Gail Porter.
Not been Prime Minister yet.
No. She was on the House of Commons, though.
Yeah. She was on that.
That's right,
that
she was.
She had hair. Yeah. Her nudie body was on there. They wouldn't put her on there now, would they?
I can't remember. Who did that?
Loaded.
Oh, yeah.
Or was it FHM?
One of those
magazines that doesn't exist anymore. Because
None of them do.
You can just Google it.
Right.
Well, no, thank God they don't exist, right, ladies?
You've been sarcastic about women's lib a lot this year.
You're not being sarcastic. I am being 100% genuine.
Oh, okay.
I was toying with giving us cool names for this series.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Like what?
Well, I was thinking you could be D. Reed.
Is that D. Reed? Like D. Reed, yeah. No, I get that, yeah.
I thought you could be E equals M. Orton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what
I was just going to be John. I couldn't think of one.
Yeah.
A Rain Man.
The Rain Man.
Yeah.
I thought
that might appeal to younger listeners.
They love the film Rain Man.
No, I mean, giving us all...
Oh, I see, yeah.
I could probably think of like Reed Dog.
Reed Dog?
Yeah.
Can I be Eminem?
Eminem, yep.
Eminem. I don't think I've ever had a nickname.
Really?
Apart from this one.
You must have had like Reedy.
No.
Really?
Yeah.
I like that you assume you must have. What have you had? Johnny Boy, John.
I've had that, yeah. But when I went to school...
Hard Rain.
No, not like
when that film was massive.
Precipitation.
No.
Spitty.
When I started senior school, there were two rain things happening.
Right.
There was a famous motorcyclist called Wayne Rainey.
Okay.
So I got called Rainey.
Right, yeah.
And then the film Rain Man came out, so I got Rain... Yes, thank you. I got Rain Man a lot.
Right, yeah. Sorry to bring it up.
It's all right. I don't mind.
Okay.
If it wasn't to do with a man who was mentally ill, that'd be fine. If he was, like, really cool.
Yeah. Like he was a superhero or something.
Exactly. If he could, like...
He sort of is, though, isn't he?
Put water out of his hands.
Right.
Like two showers.
If he's Halle Berry's Storm sidekick. Or whoever plays Storm now, if we're being up with the kids.
I have no idea. Know. We are trying to be up with the kids. We should find that out.
We should find that out.
So the kids listening to this, they're thinking, I was with them till the X-Men. Now I'm turning this off. I don't like
first
it.
Class.
Turn it off. I don't like it.
Yeah.
So what are we going to have with you then?
What, my nickname?
Yeah.
Oh, God, it's so much pressure. I do know that my name is an anagram of Dead Diver.
Oh.
Not to bring scuba diving
don't
up to
Don't tell about diving. Right. We know you didn't
did
see
you
a shark.
Did you go scuba diving at Tenerife?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Let me tell you about that. Dead Diver, David Reed, Dead Diver.
That's depressing.
Mm.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's a portent.
Well, that's what I would
Don't go worry. Diving again, please.
Okay.
Well, yeah, don't do it.
Okay. We don't want you to pass away. That'd be terrible. Mind you, it wouldn't do too bad for the podcast, would it?
Might get some publicity.
Might get some listeners.
You know, like a third article on Chortle for one day or something.
On the weekly trivia file.
That's it.
Third line down.
Which Penny Dreadful died this week?
Clue, it's not Tom Tusk.
And they might put this out saying he actually predicted his own death.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and then will be a conspiracy theory.
He finally saw a shark. That's the happy ending version. Him.
Maybe we should call you Sharky.
All right.
Yeah.
Actually, the Royal Navy has nicknames for your surname. It's quite formalised system.
Right.
My wife's father was in the Navy, and her name's Ward, and they're all called Sharky. And Reeds, like me, are called Blood, because of blood red, apparently.
Right.
So shark and blood went got married in the end, which
that's
is
very nice.
It's apt.
Yeah.
So what for? So like for some common surnames?
Yeah, then? Yeah. They've all got a prescribed nickname, possibly to stop name giving.
like people call White or Chalky.
That's it.
Yeah, I've seen RAF films.
Yeah. There you go. So you can call me Blood if you like.
Blood.
It's quite young.
I'm not really comfortable calling you Blood.
Call me Mr. Bloody. Bloody Reed.
Bloody, yeah.
Davey? You had Davey? Dave?
Oh, no.
Dave?
No, you see, they don't suit me.
No.
I can't believe you never got called Davey or Reedy.
No.
So it just screams of a lack of imagination at your school.
Well, I'm sorry.
What school did you go to?
I went to Bootham Quaker School in York.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, yeah.
What's that like?
That was fantastic.
Did you get free porridge?
We did not, because those oat bastards stole our brand. Nothing to do with Quakers, those guys.
Really not?
Absolutely nothing.
Even though the man in the picture is one.
Right, yeah.
Did he escape?
That bloke.
Yeah.
It's just a picture.
He was
a man.
He was drawn against his will.
Heavy Pencil, a new comedy from Great Big Owl, the people who brought you Brian and Roger.
Are you a client?
Yes, I'm a client. I'm the actor Michael Cork.
The Observer called it a lovely thing, wonderfully funny, pitched perfectly, produced with a light touch.
No, I've been taken on as Fliss's assistant.
You're the assistant's assistant.
Yes, if you like.
Heavy Pencil by Anna Crilly and Tony Gardner.
Great Big Owl.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the summer to expand your horizons. It's time to explore. But before you set foot out the door, set foot in the ultimate travel shoes from Allbirds, like the breathable silky smooth tree dasher, the responsive foam and extra grip of the tree runner, or the classic low top look of the tree piper. Allbirds has a lightweight, ultra packable shoe ready for whatever adventures you have planned. Boarding pass? Check. Passport? Check. The perfect travel shoe? Check. Find your perfect pair at allbirds.com. That's allbirds.com.
Sorry, going back to Tam Am Shud.
Yes, so the mystery is, who is this guy?
Yep.
And why did he have Tam Am Shud written in a fob?
Sewn into his trousers.
Sewn into his trousers. So that is, for me, spy. Definitely a spy, right? And this is a secret message for someone so it didn't get discarded off his body after he died. It's supposed to mean something to someone.
Mm.
So I would suggest the poem meant something to him and his lady friend.
Yes. I like the illegitimate child killing the man thing, but then it's like, well, why would she bother doing all the Tam Am Shud stuff?
I would add to that. I think that's all true, apart from she did it. I see no reason why she'd do it with poison cigarettes and all that. Russians did it, obviously. Mm. So it's a tragic story that he knew he was going to die, and so he...
Oh, so he did it?
He killed himself because the Russians were after both of them, and he didn't want his child to be got by them as leverage.
And he left the code for her... So that she would know why he was dead.
This is where I was going.
It was his.
I'm thinking it was
their favourite poem.
Suicide via poison cigarette,
right,
of his own making.
Yeah, because he seemed very relaxed. And the body wasn't moved. I don't know why those people were talking about that, because eyewitnesses saw him the day before in the same place.
Mm-hmm.
He was G-ing himself up to do it, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. He spent all day at the place he was going to die.
And he took all of the labels out of his clothes, like people who commit suicide do.
He had
threw away his wallet.
Yeah. He had a spare fag behind his ear in case the first one wasn't enough of a dose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I think we've solved it.
I think we have.
I watched some conspiracy videos on the train on the way in today.
Right.
And none of them touched upon this. And I'm thinking, why? It's obviously committed suicide.
What were the other theories?
That it was murder or there were spies.
And any specific indication of what sort of spying he was involved in?
No one. Just general espionage.
General
post-war
spying.
Espionage. But I think it's suicide. I think he's gone there to see his strange girlfriend and child, and Lady just Prince. Just to say goodbye or leave that message to say goodbye.
I think he's in trouble with the Russians. Russians.
Yeah.
I think he's in trouble, and if they get to him, if they can't get to him, they're going to get to him through his loved ones, and so he can't actually go and see them. So I think he's trailed them from afar so he can see his child again without actually saying goodbye.
Yeah,
and then gone to this beach to end it all, so that they have no leverage over his family.
Which is why she pretended she didn't know who he was.
Yeah. Lord Lucan.
Will you stop?
I will.
See, that's him.
I will never stop.
Have we considered aliens?
Considered it, and having looked at all the evidence, it is inconclusive.
He could have been beamed up to a spaceship, viciously probed anally.
Yes.
Yep. Beamed back down.
Yes, or he could have been punched to death by a Yeti. That's
another I wonder, obviously someone knows who he is.
Yeah.
Do you think the British government has any kind of file on this guy?
Yeah, definitely.
Do you think he
orphan. They use orphans, don't they? So yeah, they do. They say
like Fagin's gang.
That's it.
Yeah.
Well, they wait until they're older.
Right.
Like
James Bond.
Yeah, it was. God rest his soul.
His parents died in a climbing accident.
They did.
Yeah.
They did. What were they? Where was he while they were?
He was at home with Kincaid, I'm guessing.
Yes, of course.
Albert Finney, who's
up in Skyfall.
Yeah.
Skyfall.
Also, the patriarchy. Forget them. They're responsible.
They probably did it. But I think he was off the records because he's been a career spy. Mm. That's why he could face the end with such dignity.
Yeah. It would make quite a nice drama, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
That ending.
Can I posit that the pasty and the ginger hair and the tie were all misdirections and he was Russian, in fact?
Ah.
And they were trying to pretend he was... They were like, what do British people wear?
I mean, if I was trying to pretend to be British... Eating a pasty and wearing a Union Jack tie. If I was trying to blend in Australia and not look British, a Union Jack tie would be a mistake, I think.
Mm. But you're saying that as a British person. I think as someone who was just trying to think, what do British people wear? I think you're very much...
He was Japanese.
I'm saying he's not British and he's pretending to be British and that's what he thinks British people dress like.
Right, yeah. Well, maybe he just had a pasty to try and blend in with the whole identity. It shocked him to death.
Because the only ever film he's seen about Britain is the Spice Girls movie.
Wow.
His style is completely based on Jerry...
Yeah, it would give you a very warped view of our country.
Also, Roger Moore talks like a spy in the Spice Girls movie.
Oh, let's hear it.
He says things like, when the boomerang of something is heading for the wall of something...
Surprisingly, prestigious cast.
Yes.
Meatloaf.
Richard E. Grant,
your friend.
Claire Rushbrook.
Baby Spice.
Yeah, she's in it, yeah.
She your favourite?
No, I was always weirdly into Mel C, but just because I felt sorry for her.
Oh, no.
Like, all the others were allowed different outfits, and she always had to just wear jogging
bottoms. Presumably you were target audience for them.
Yeah, very much so.
Who was your favourite?
Ginger.
Mime too.
Mm.
Really?
Yeah, because... She was from Watford.
Right.
And I was from Watford.
Yeah, makes sense.
And I'd heard stories about her.
I mean, who else could
really?
I?
Yes.
Okay.
Another mystery.
Not really.
Mm.
Not when you think about it.
But she's posher than Posh Spice, though, isn't she?
She is now.
Ironically.
Now she's Jerry Horton.
She went to a fancy school.
She did, yeah. But she was a bit of a wild child.
Oh, was she?
Yes.
A real wild child.
Wild child. The song.
I'm just for school, like real cool. Iggy Pop,
Spice.
Yeah,
he was one of them. Is he in that film?
In Spice World?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, that's a shame.
Sounds no, like but Norm from Cheers is.
Yes, that's right, he is, isn't he?
Who's he in it?
He's a guy working for a newspaper.
That's right.
And Mark McKinney from Kids in the Hall is dreadfully wasted in it.
Oh.
It's very sad.
I saw that film at a friend's house and I was like, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, Barrymore.
This was last week.
Barrymore's in it.
Do you know for years on the Wikipedia page for the Spice Girls the movie, the Barrymore character was known as pool attendant, which someone had changed. Tragic. And it hadn't got corrected for years.
Wow.
It's corrected
until
now.
John Rain.
It wasn't me.
But you would have done it.
I think that's a very low blow.
It's a very low blow. The man was mourning the stranger in his house.
Yeah, it's not a nice story.
It's not a nice story at all. But back to the uplifting dead guys in Australia.
Yeah.
I think we've solved this one. Yep, I think we cracked it some time ago.
I think he's a spy who committed suicide and left that note as a in a message to the woman to
as
say,
a cryptic message to the one he loves. And he did it for love. He did it for love.
Aww.
Maybe she, right, had someone tailing her who wanted to kill her or do something. This fella killed that man.
Yeah.
And then left the note saying, it is done, and then killed himself.
Right.
I think, yeah.
I think it sounds a bit like a John le Carré novel.
It does.
Very.
And where was he?
Well, he was probably working alongside him in the circus.
What does he know?
He was a juggler.
He was a juggler.
Was he?
No.
It was a juggalo.
I've done a play about him as well.
I know, I've heard all of them.
Oh, haven't you heard it?
Yeah.
Don't you like his stuff?
No, I do like his stuff, I know. I think I went to that one, actually.
I'm a big, it doesn't sound
I'm
like
a big Penny
did.
Dreadfuls nerd.
Oh, me too.
Aww.
I think they're dreadful.
No, fair enough.
Not
Penny.
Really.
Penny Dreadful.
The penny's dropped. That'll be the headline when you find out you're dead.
We call ourselves the Penny Dreadfuls to make all of the puns on our name about how bad we were so obvious that no one would dare write them.
Yeah.
Seems to work.
Does. Right, well.
All right. Oh, God.
Lucan again, you've angered him. Well, there can be no doubt. I genuinely think there can be no doubt we have solved the case there.
Yes.
I think solid.
I think someone will hear this and think, shit, that's really good.
Yeah.
Not the other episodes we've done.
No,
no.
I still want to know what he was doing.
He was lying on
probably
the beach.
No, thank you. Right. I meant, what was his job? What spying was he doing?
He'd had a long life of all sorts of gobbins.
I think he spied on ladies on a ladder with binoculars.
Well, that's what he did at the end with his own ex-lover.
Mm.
Yeah. Right, well.
Sad story.
They do say that, you know, love...
They do say that.
They do.
Yeah. They do say that.
Yeah. Oh. Well, thank you very much for listening. And we'll see you next week with another exciting mystery, potentially award-winning, I think.
Oh.
So until next time, my name is Rain Man.
My name is Mr. Bloody Reed.
I'm E-Dog. I've changed to E-Dog.
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 I like that.
E-Dog.
Can it be E equals MC Dog?
No.
Because MC... Dog.
I get cool. What you're saying. That doesn't make sense.
All right.
Dog with a W in it.
Well, we'll have to change our Twitter handles at some point. But at the moment, they are at All Rather Pod, which may change to MC Pod.
No, drop the MC thing.
DJ Dog Pod. Mr. David Reed's over there.
Hello.
At Eleanor Morton.
Yep.
I am Mr. Ken Shabby. And we'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Bye.
Tamim should have recorded it again.
Keep that in.
Hello, I'm Jack Beaumont. I do Crime Club. In Series 1, I spoke to people like this.
Did you not kick a policeman in the head?
Yeah, that was... When was that? I was 17. Wait, was I 17 or 19? I think it might have been 19, actually.
In Series 2, I talked to people like this.
There was a paedophile with one leg. I kicked him clean out his wheelchair. About four of us... I mean, we battered him.
And this.
Cheated on your boyfriend to give him gonorrhea? Do you want to go there, or would you rather not?
Yeah, no, I could talk about it.
I have jingles like this. That's Crime Club, where strange people tell stories involving bad behaviour. New episodes out every Monday.
Great Big Owl.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colours, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit amfam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.